I want to talk to you this morning about the power of God, His sheer power and His presence in our lives. Our Sunday evening Bible study, we've been going through the Old Testament, and I want to go back to a book we finished a while back, Habakkuk, and talk about that. It was a book written by a prophet that started out wrestling with God and ended up worshiping Him. He was called a distressed prophet. They called Him the complaining prophet, the weeping prophet. He was concerned over the unchecked sin of his country in the first part of chapter 1. He was amazed at God's disclosure that He'd already prepared an instrument to judge Judah, namely Babylon. He was going to use a heathen nation to correct the nation of Judah. Habakkuk was shocked, and he expressed his dilemma to God, and then he waited for an answer. And the answer came in chapter 2 in the form of a dirge or a sad song that Habakkuk was instructed to record. Habakkuk, learning of God's plan to destroy Babylon, then it says he bowed in humble adoration to God. And chapter 3 is followed with a majestic prayer and a hymn of praise. His prayer in chapter 3 is one of the greatest in the Bible, and it's something I go back and read again time and time again just to stay refreshed with it. And we're going to look this morning at the first part of that prayer. We're going to be in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It starts out a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, I revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hand, and there His power was hidden. Before Him went pestilence, and fever followed at His feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. Oh, that's God I want to talk about today, the God of power, and a God whose mere presence shakes the earth. I want to talk about a prayer for revival and for mercy. You see, if we want what God alone can give us, we have to pray. If we want revival for God's house, we have to pray. There's no other way to do it. There's no shortcuts. There's no plan B. Habakkuk records a prayer song for praise of God for the people to sing and worship with. Verse 1 states, the song is a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. The revelation of God changed the prophet Habakkuk. His circumstances haven't changed, but he had changed. He's now walking by faith instead of by sight. He's now living on God's promises and not by human reasoning. You know, I thought about this, and I think about our own lives. I think about the people who are going through troubles right now. I was thinking about Chuck Selders. You know, the things they're going through, the circumstances haven't changed. But I talked to Audrey and listened to, she says, I have hope. She says, I have believe that God is at work. I see changes happening. You see, the circumstances haven't changed, but the view has. And it's the same for us. Whatever we're going through in our lives, those problems don't necessarily have to go away. before we see God at work. We just have to go by faith that He's there and that changes are coming. Allow Him to be our strength. Allow Him to be the path to follow. So often I hear people saying, well, God's not here because I haven't seen anything change. Well, I want to tell you, God's here. Maybe you have to change first. And maybe God's changing things in the background and you don't recognize it yet. He's preparing things for down the road when He'll reveal His works to you. It's not for us to worry about. The only thing we need to worry about is our faith and whether we're following God. Now Habakkuk, he originally was concerned with the iniquity, the injustice, as it affected not only his personal life, but the nation of Judah. He was concerned with the violence, where the world was going. Now, it sounds like today, doesn't it? We're concerned with our own lives. We're concerned with the world around us, our nation. Where are we going? But see, he had an encounter with God, and it filled his life, not with the problems of the world, but the love of God. And he understood God in a deeper way. He was less concerned about the world and more concerned about his relationship as he focused on God and His majesty. It says that he humbly bared his heart before God. He came to understand that God's ways were beyond anything that he could understand. How would you feel if God told you, I'm going to use a heathen nation to punish your people, to punish your land? Would that make you take a step back and wonder, God, have you got it all together? But see, God revealed his plans to Habakkuk over this time about then how he was going to punish the nation of Babylon for their evil ways. Habakkuk began to understand and began to have faith in what God was going to do. See, he was no passive spectator in the spiritual decline of Judah. And he wasn't going to be a passive recipient of the coming judgment. The disclosures of God stirred him deeply and caused him to pray, as it should all of us. You stop and think right now, a problem you're facing in your life. The sickness of a loved one, financial problems, anything that is a concern on your heart. We need to take a lesson from Habakkuk and pray. And have faith that God is in control of whatever thing you're facing. I guarantee you God is bigger than any problem you have right now. It may seem like a load on your shoulders. Just like Habakkuk, his concern for his country and for his well-being. Verse 2 says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember envy. Now Habakkuk heard the word of the Lord and how he was going to discipline Judah and then destroy Babylon. Of course, he was full of fear and apprehension. I think as we all would be. What if God singled out a point in your life and said, this is destructive, so I am going to destroy that destructive part of your life. Now we all know that God's ways are the best ways, right? But still, that would put fear on your heart, the fact that God was going to change something in you, something around you. He was maybe going to take away something that you love and replace it with something else. Habakkuk said that God's answer was beyond human understanding. Then he said that God's sovereignty is an awesome reality. That's my paraphrase. The prophet found an outlet for his burden in prayer. He begins with two petitions. He prayed for a fresh manifestation of God's power. That's a revival of deeds. And then he prayed for a full measure of pardon. He requested both God's deeds and his mercy. Revival always begins with God. And that's what Habakkuk was asking for. He knew God's judgment was coming. He knew changes had to be made. And he asked for people to see God at work again. And then he asked, in the midst of this correction, this discipline, for God to remember his mercy. When Habakkuk prayed for God's work to come alive, he was also praying that his faith would grow. And that is what each of us need, as we pray and ask God to fix those things in our lives that are concerning us. And prayer should include mercy and our faith growing. I read a statement, I can't remember who wrote it, but I jotted it down here, and it said, if there's going to be revival, there must be a stirring of our hearts by God over what is not happening in the church and by what is happening in the world. See, we're all going to be held responsible for our own actions or our own inactions. We can complain, we can worry and be concerned over the world around us. But first we have to be concerned with what is not happening in the church. And I'm not just talking about this body of believers. I'm talking about Christians worldwide, about complacency, about fear. British evangelist Gypsy Smith was asked how to start a revival. I know many of you heard this. He said, go home, lock yourself in your room, kneel down in the middle of your floor, draw a chalk mark all around yourself, and ask God to start the revival inside that chalk mark. When he has answered your prayer, then the revival will begin. What he's saying is revival starts with you. We don't need to look around and look for the next big revival, the next big place where people are coming to God in hundreds and thousands. What we need to look at is inside our own heart and see if there's a revival there. How to have a revival? First, are you a believer that's grown cold? Are you indifferent to the Lord? Have the things of this earth and this life, the pleasures that it has to offer, taken priority over the spiritual and things of eternal value? If so, number one, acknowledge your need. Understand where you're at in your relationship with God. Number two, confess your sins to the Lord. It always starts with confession. Number three, spend time daily in the Bible, reading God's Word. Number four, talk to your Heavenly Father in prayer. Number five, determine to say no to every temptation of this world. And number six, say yes to God. The Holy Spirit that dwells in you is more powerful than anything this world has to offer. The Holy Spirit is more powerful than Satan. So instead of sitting back and waiting for some powerful movement of God to sweep you up, need to individually meet the conditions of spiritual power and joy and victory in our lives. And that's how we can have revival. You can't kindle a fire in someone else's heart till you have that revival fire in your own. Nothing new about what I just said. Said it many different ways. And we've heard the thing about drawing a chalk circle many times from many different people that stood in this pulpit. But we can't get past it. It's the truth. You know, it's great to read about these revivals like down in Brownsville or up in Canada. But the truth is, it starts right here. It starts in your heart. And that's what Habakkuk was talking about, a revival of God's people. His second request evolved out of the first. He knew judgment was coming. And you know what? If we have a revival in our own heart today, this very day, there could still be consequences that have to be paid for your sinful actions. Habakkuk knew that. He knew judgment was coming on Judah. And he didn't argue that fact with God. He said, when it comes, please remember your mercy. In our lives, we need to ask God that too. Please remember your mercy. Right now, today, he's pouring out his mercy on Audrey Selders as she sits by Chuck's bed. God is with her. Audrey told me that this morning. And I'm not saying that what happened to God or what happened to Chuck is a punishment for everything, anything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that God is with her. And when she called this morning, she asked me to thank everyone for their prayers because they're working. God's wrath is inevitable for those that break their covenant with him. Put that a simple way, if you sin, there's going to be consequences. Disobedience, injustice, violence, hatred, it all goes against the word and the teachings of God. And you know, I can stand up here and try to sugarcoat it if I want to, but I'm not. Whatever sin you have in your life, there's going to be judgment for that. There's no way around it. You can't get anything past God. He sees everything that goes on. But just as Habakkuk found out, there is mercy in his justice. Never forget God's love. Habakkuk was discouraged about the conditions of the church, the state of the world, and his own spiritual life. So he took time to pray and seek God's mercy. Charles Spurgeon said, whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. Think about that for just a minute. You want anything from God, you need to ask. You need to go before him. Habakkuk's questions and answered in chapter 1 became detailed instructions in chapter 2. The prophet prayed and he was ushered into the very presence of God as God had instructed him what to write and what to say. Verse 3 says, God came from Teman, the Holy One, from the Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. Habakkuk saw God coming down just like he did at Mount Sinai. He saw God coming to his people in instruction, in correction. God's glory fills the heavens. His praise fills the earth and the hearts of His people. One day, God's glory is going to fill this earth again. He's coming back. And I want all of us to be ready. Verse 4 says, His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hand. And there His power was hidden. God's presence illuminates this world. And I believe, as a Christian nation, all Christians, sometimes we don't realize the absolute power of God and what He can do. We read these stories in the Bible and see what He's done in the past and what He's promised to do in the future. But what about the here and now? Think about the sun. A great ball of fire. It warms the earth. We circle around it. Keeps us alive. But what happens if you get too close to the sun? It annihilates everything. The same thing that brings us life would bring us our death. And I like to think of God as being like that. God is so much power and control. But He's always there. But if we read these words, we can see that God could snuff us out in an instant. Just like we got too close to the sun. But God is controlled. God reveals Himself in measure so we don't become overcome. Verse 5 said, Before Him went pestilence and fever, followed at His seat. God is fully capable of exercising His cleansing power. You know, I don't know how God will judge this nation or correct this nation, but I know we're sliding down into an abyss. The declining morals of this country and this world as a whole, I can't believe God hasn't stepped in and said enough is enough. And then I think about the power of God and His ability to do whatever He wants. It says in verse 6, He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. Perpetual hills bowed, and His ways were everlasting. Habakkuk's vision of God was Him moving across the nations. This is the supreme power that He reveals to us. That even the earth itself trembles before the power of God. God stood still and surveyed all around. Do you suppose God is looking over our country right now? Because God is looking over this world right now, ready to carry out His plan. So where are the prophets that speak today? Don't look up here. I'm one man. I bring the message to you that God gives to me. But the message I'll tell you today, that each one of you are prophets of God. You need to proclaim His glory with your words and with your deeds, with the very way that you live your life. It starts with prayer. Habakkuk's petition for revival was put before God. And I put that before God today. I'm asking for revival for each one of you here. And for those that can't be here today or the ones that chose not to be here today. Just like Habakkuk, we pray. And we have that concern, that desire about our country, about our nation, and about ourselves. Let's all stand together. Let's all bow our heads. I believe that this world needs God to reveal His mighty power once again. Maybe the only way the change will come as we have discipline first. Habakkuk was concerned. He was concerned enough to pray, and God revealed to him what was coming. But he also revealed to him the mercy and the love that was coming also. So I ask you today, take this as a history lesson about the concern of one man and what he did. He reached out to God in prayer. And I ask you all today to take the time to reach out to God in prayer. And then take the time to listen to what God has to say. And after you do that, obey what God has told you to obey, to do. I want to ask you to pray for revival for yourselves, for this church, this body of believers. I don't believe it'll happen in one prayer. Maybe not two prayers, three prayers, a dozen prayers. But I do believe that God will listen and that God will answer. And we just have to have the ears to hear. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just praise you. Your power and your majesty is beyond our comprehension. You created this world. You created every person here. You created us to worship you, to praise you, and to serve each other. Father, I just pray for this body of believers that you extend your mercy along with your power. Father, I ask to see your works again, just as Habakkuk prayed. Father, you are in control of all things. And you wait for us. You wait for us to ask for direction for your leadership, and I'm asking that today. I pray for this church that we would have a burden from the lost. And you will teach us, instruct us, and show us how to reach out and make a difference. Father, I just ask for your tender mercies to be poured out upon this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.